Good morning. Good to see everyone out. I'd like to welcome you to New Harmony Baptist Church. If this is your first time being with us, we are so glad you're with us. A little special thing going on today, our graduates, and we've got them graduating anywhere from kindergarten to master's degrees, I think, or something. Somebody may have even got a doctorate in college, I don't know. But good to have them. Appreciate the hard work they've put in, each and every one. Got several that's not here on vacation, I think three or four actually. Has done called and said they would be on vacation, wouldn't be able to come, but we'll still recognize them and they will get their gift. This morning before we get started, of course, we're still doing things a little different because of the virus situation, but I hope we're slowly getting back to normal. We will meet this afternoon at 5 o'clock as leadership meeting to determine, we've got to get our music back going, got to get our schedule, church schedule back going, so excited for that to be happening. Yeah, I guess you noticed our social distancing is kind of gone this morning as far as our roping off pews, because we knew we wouldn't have room. So however you feel comfortable is fine with me. And as far as prayer requests goes, of course, I guess everybody knows that our country is in much need of prayer. Remember our leaders of all cities, states, police departments, mayors, and everybody is under tremendous amount of pressure, and I've thought a lot about it, and the only thing I can say is stick to the Word of God. Follow it. Don't even follow your heart. You follow the Word of God, and you'll be right. Your heart will deceive you. Your emotions will deceive you, but you follow God, and He will not deceive you in His Word. So any more prayer requests? Remember our nation. Brad Vines, his family. Brad is... Been given some bad news and has actually come home for his last, what the doctors say is his last hours. Be much in prayer for Brad and Susie. Any others? Ward family, yes. A lot of y'all know probably best is Tim Ward. I like Tim because I'm a little taller than he is. Ain't many people I'm taller than. But Tim's mother passed away. And so remember him and his family. And I know too well where he stands. So y'all remember him. And the funeral today?
Tomorrow.
Of course, that's Misty's aunt, y'all. I don't know if many knew that, but remember them. Remember Stephanie, she is working this morning, and we got several traveling on vacation in different places. Be much in prayer for them. Any others?
Remember Crimson.
And also remember Ricky Pritchard. I talked to Ricky Friday, and he said he's doing better. About he was going home to rinse his hand when I talked to him, but
yes,
he's...
He's
doing a lot better. Remember his sister also, Charlene, and she's been given some more bad news. She's been battling cancer for years and years, and now it's in her kidneys. So remember her. She hasn't lost the faith. She's still strong and still in good spirits, but it was a hard blow for her last week. Any others?
Continue to remember Kenny.
Yes, Kenny. I'm ready to get my pictures back. I can't tell you how many pictures I've got in my chest of drawers at home. And every time I go home in my pants or my shirt, I've got a picture. And I've missed it. So pray for Ken G. He's back on the mend. Any others? Not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come out to your house. God, I thank you for those who saw the necessity to come and to worship you in spirit and truth. God, I pray for my nation. God, we are in a mess. I know the only hope is you, but let us turn our eyes to you and give us the understanding that that is the only way to fix it, that you are the only way. God, these individuals have been mentioned. Ask you to touch in each situation, God. There's many suffering from cancer. Those have been given news from doctors, but we know you're the final say. You're the great physician. If it be your will, heal them, God. If it's not, comfort those families. God, give them the strength to go through this time. We know that death is a normal part of life. It's not fun. It's not something we look forward to, but it's part of having life. And God, we thank you that you give us a promise that after this life is over, We can enjoy you forever if we've received your Son as our Savior. And God, we thank you. You're still saving souls. The grace is still available. The mercy is still available, God, every day. God, we ask you to be with our service this morning. God, I ask you to touch our music, Lord, as it's different. But Lord, just give us a blessing through the music that is played today. And God, may you strengthen us. God, as it comes to preaching hour, I pray you give me the courage and the message to preach. And God, that we will do it according to your will. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, boy, we'd usually sing. We're going to play songs. Hopefully, after this Sunday, we can get back. So, if you would please stand.
God, I need it every day. It's the only thing. are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
We're going to give out these gifts for our graduates, so bear with us for just a little bit. I call your name, you can come up, and we'll get you, I'm sure, parents and grandparents want some pictures, so we'll take a little bit of time for that with each one, but we'll try to do it as efficient as possible. For pre-K, those graduating pre-K, first one is Will. I'm sure Will's ready to come up. You got to come here and stand. Look at Mama. Smile. Y'all good? Sophie is not here. Going down now, we'll go to fourth grade. Bailey is at the beach also. Then we go to Jet, is not here. You know, they're making it easy on me, aren't they? Peyton. Peyton is here, and I know she's looking forward to this. You gotta stand there, they can smile big. Act like you like it. Now our high school seniors. Thing is, I don't know if I see any of them. Anderson is not here. Dalton is he's at the beach. We've done heard. Ethan's not here. They will still get their gifts, by the way. We're not going to throw them away. And Logan. Logan is not here either. All right, so we're moving on to the college graduates. Boy, we got more of them than we do anything. And most of them are old people, especially one. But the first one we've got is Blake. Blake has decided he might not want to teach school. He might want to weed eat.
No, that's not it.
Next one is Corey. I don't even know what it is Corey graduated from. It's something to do with computers. What's it called, Corey? Yeah, that. And he was got an award of some kind too. What? Next is Crimson. We'll give Crimson's to her mother. Next is Jeremiah. He's smarter than all of us. He's an engineer. Terry's going to get to retire for good now. Jeremiah's going to keep him going. All right. Hannah is not here. And Stephanie is not here. But all these have graduated from college, from, of course, starting with pre-K all the way up to college. A lot of hard work put into it. And I know the time it takes and the effort from families and, of course, the money. But there's a lot of time goes into it. So give them all a big hand, then we'll preach. I lied to you, actually. I told you today would be the last message in Ezra. It's not. I couldn't fit it all in there. I tried. But very familiar stories, I guess, to those that's been here. We started this thing somewhere about 7 weeks ago in Ezra about coming home. Don't seem like it's been that long as we was preparing to get back to the church building. And Lord laid this message on my heart, and it just cannot stop. And of all the things that's went on this week, and today's going to be preaching about leadership and about what type of leader Ezra was. And we're going to try to pull it on down there to us and to you and to get you to understand the importance of being a godly leader, such as Ezra was. And today I want you to understand something about what Ezra had on him. Those of y'all that's been in any type of leadership understand that it's not easy, because decisions you make, man, they are critiqued. And nowadays we have something called Facebook. No longer do people just get to talk about you in crowds. Now they can put you online 24 hours a day and say what they want to and never have to look you in the face. It's wonderful for them. But this was a man named Ezra who, I told you in the beginning of this thing, he was a scribe. And God had commissioned Ezra to come and to preach the word of God in Jerusalem and to lead his people back to him and to finish rebuilding the temple. And today, Ezra, where we're going to pick up today, the temple is done. And as Ezra is trying to get to a place of relaxation, he gets some news from some people in the community that these people have been involved in sinful relationships, in sinful practices. So Ezra has a decision to make. Do we sweep it under the rug, or do we head it face on? And Ezra also has a good friend that helps him. We'll get there in a minute. But this thing wasn't lightly that Ezra had to do. This wasn't even somebody caught up in an affair. It wasn't somebody caught up in an addiction. This was people who had married wives of the unclean people. And to get right, they was going to have to divorce those wives, to put them away, even their children, not to kill them, not to do anything like that, but they had to separate themselves from it. And today, I want you to see this, that as a leader, God has called you to separate some things from you. And you may not be in a leadership, but if you're in your home as a parent, you are in leadership. And God is calling you to separate from some things. Now, most of us, the separation we'll have to do is probably not going to be do away with our families. Because we know that today, God had changed that with Jesus coming. No longer was those laws set up, and thanks be to God for that. But there are some sins that we have to cut loose and that we love to hold on to. We love to partake in them, and they're joyful to us. They bring a sense of accomplishment to us. But the reason we must have them, the reason we must have rules, and God set up these rules, is to protect us from ourselves. I said this week to some people at my work when I was watching on the news, and they said, all these places are defunding the police departments. I said, we're going to see a mess. Because all the way back into Genesis, God set up rules. And you know what the rules were set up for? Protect you from yourself. 99% of the rules that God gives us and the rules of the land protect me from me. And when I don't have anybody to take me from me, I destroy myself. Now look at Ezra. We'll pick it up in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll go on. And it says, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief in these trespasses. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, it hurts. It cuts going in and coming out. But God, we thank you today that it's still your word. It hasn't changed. Because we think times have changed, but this word has not changed. We all stand in the same place these men did in Ezra's day. And God, I pray you help us as leaders to face this thing head on, and as parents and as leaders in our homes and at our work or wherever it may be, you give us the courage, God, to face it. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You see, the problem, the first point I want to point out to you, was the problem. This is in Ezra chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. This was definitely the problem. I want you to think about this. Ezra had just accomplished what he thought was good. The temple was done, and he thought, man, I'll sit down and rest for just a minute. But no sooner than he sat down, the people came, and they said, Ezra, we've got a problem. We got a problem. He said, these people have intermarried, and God told us way back there. Now, to me and you, this is in Exodus and Deuteronomy and all those chapters, but he's told them not to intermarry. And listen, the reason, and this is very important to note today, the reason that he said that wasn't because of color of skin. It was because of bringing in of false gods. It wasn't, God does not see that stuff. Me and you made that up. Obviously, we look different, but to God, what he sees on the man is a heart. And listen, as this thing, God saw that if they intermarried, they would bring in the false gods into Jerusalem and then to the Jews, and it would destroy them. God knew these rules must be set up. He knew the way man is. And you see, those children say, and because I've had three of them, and you tell them to stay away from people, and you know what they'll say, but Daddy, I can change him. No, you can't. You cannot change them. What will happen is they will bring you down. I have seen it too many times, even with my own daughter, and one of them sitting right there smiling because I told her 100 times how to stay away from these things. But guess what? She wouldn't listen to Daddy. She had to learn on her own. Here she is married to Blake. Just kidding. I'm moving on. But the people had married heathens of the land. And because of this, the false God, they wasn't worshiping the one true God of Israel. They had gotten caught up in this false worship. And listen, a huge task was given to a leader named Ezra to face this thing head on. Now, as a leader, I know Ezra was human such as I am. I know what Ezra must have been thinking. Well, is this really my problem? Is this really my problem? Listen, if God has put you in a place of leadership, yes, it is your problem. It's your problem. Now listen, you cannot do it alone, but it is your problem. So here Ezra was. He was commissioned with a great task of telling these people that they was wrong and what they was doing. They must put away these wives. Now can you imagine me coming to you and saying that you were wrong, you must put your wife away, you must put your children away, because listen, matter of fact, that's our prized possessions. We love them, we care about them, and we want to be close to them. So if a man told me I had to put them away to be right with God, I don't know if I could do that. But Ezra was commissioned with that great task. And listen, it wasn't just the laypersons. We're so guilty of saying, well, if this group would get better, and if that group would get better, everything would be fixed. And I've preached this forever since we've been preaching this series. The problem in our churches, the problems in our homes, it's not with our members out there. It's not with our children, and it's not even with our wives. Men, the problem lies within leadership. It's a leadership problem. You understand what he said? The people told him. He said it's not just the people that's involved. He said the princes and everybody else is chief in this matter. They are the rulers and they are caught up in this stuff. So it's not just going to affect the normal people. It's going to affect the rulers. And if you stand up, Ezra, you're going to have rulers come against you. You're going to have princes come against you. But guess what? You must stand upon the word of God and don't worry about what people think. So we see the problem. And by the way, we all have a sin problem. You may think you're better than I am, and you may be. You may be closer to God than I am, but I promise you, you have a sin problem. We're all born sinners, by the way, but outside of that, you have a sin that so easily besets you. I don't know what yours is. I know what mine is, but I don't know yours, and that's between you and God, and I don't want to know because I'm not telling you mine. How do I know that we all have a sin problem? The Bible says, how do I know we have a sin problem? Easily besets me. It tells me in Hebrews 12:1. By the way, my projector's out back there so that I usually look at, so I have to look down here. For foreseeing we are going to pass about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That sin is a weight. Anybody in here that's ever ran or ever exercised a little bit, now if you want to get stronger and bigger arms, you add a little bit of weight. But if you want to run and you want to be fast running, you know what you do? You lose weight. You take the weight off. You don't put a barbell on you and try to run. You do away with all the weight. You buy the lightest shirts you can buy, the lightest shoes, the lightest shorts. You do away with every bit of weight you can. You even lose weight physically. And as you do that, you get faster. So why in the world do we think we can run the race of life bound down with sin upon us? But men are doing it every single day. And women are doing it every single day. And we wonder why we're not successful. Ezra had to confront this. Now, as we go further, I want you to see something. You must realize what your weight is. Ezra was brought to his attention what his people's weight was. They had intermarried. They had given their sons to these people. They had given their daughters to these people. And they was tangled up in it. And there was one way out, was to do away with it. But oh me, was it going to be tough. But today as I'm preaching this, I want you to be honest with yourself and find out what your sin is. And you got to make a choice today. Do you want to put that sin away or do you want to continue to drag it? No, I'm not going to go into all the sins because there is a million of them that can beset you and put you back. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready about this word beset. When my girls was little, I can't remember if it was Amberly or Abby. We'll say Amberly since she was here. They liked to play Candyland. It's hard to be a big, strong man and play Candyland. But we played Candyland because that's what they wanted to do. And I can remember as I would be jumping along and going, I'd be close to the end of hitting the candy land. She would love to pull that card that would set me all the way back to the start. And she would do that so she could win. You see, I'm competitive. Never would I let my kids win. I don't do that. I believe T-ball ought to keep score, amen? I believe if you're going to play, you need to keep score. I like to win. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 50. I want to beat you. That's the way I am. But she would do that, and it would beset me and put me all the way back to the start. And you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to go all the way back through there to get to where I once was because of a stupid little card. And this is the same way in our Christian life, but thanks be to God, He puts us right back in the place. But I was beset. You're beset because of the sin. It puts you back to a start. There are Christians sitting in our pews probably, been saved 40 or 50 years, and spiritually they are still babes, the same place they was, because they've been trying to drag a sin around that they cannot and they will not let go. By the way, they can, they just will not. If these people could do it, you can do it. We see the problem. Let's look at the prayer of Ezra. Ezra 9, 4 through 15. I don't know if I've ever heard a better prayer. Listen to this. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God of Israel. Listen, church, you need to be around your leaders. You need to support your leaders. If you've got there's several visitors here this morning, if you're a pastor, somebody other than me, you circle around them. You lift them up. You be there for them, and you stand when they stand. Don't let them stand alone. Around Ezra here was everybody that trembled at the words of God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and I rent my garment and my mantle, and fell upon my knees. Church, I preached it a lot, and I'll keep preaching it. This is something that is missing, not only in our homes, but in our churches, is people getting on their knees. Amen. You say, well, I don't have to get on my knees to pray. No, you do not. But you find me in the Word of God where somebody wanted to get in touch with God. My friend, they're on their knees before God in a sign of humility and knowing they can't do anything on their own. And people today have become too good to get on their knees because somebody will think I've done something wrong. Or so that's not very dignified to get on your knees. Let me tell you something. If you want to get in touch with God, you must follow His instructions. And Ezra got on his knees before God. How am I better than Ezra? Yeah, I'm living a few thousand years past Ezra or more. Several more. But I'm no better. He fell upon his knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. And said, oh my God. Don't you listen to this prayer. Listen to this. Oh my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities. You notice he didn't say there. He said our. What a leader this was. Although himself was not intermarried, he put himself in that lot because he was part of that group. Listen, when you come to pray for New Harmony Baptist Church, you may not do some of the things I do. I may not have done some of the things you do. But when I pray for this group, I need to put myself in there because we are family. Our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass has grown up into the heavens. I've heard preachers say for years, you know why people's not getting saved anymore? They're not getting lost. They don't know there's a problem. Even Christian people don't realize there's a problem. We think we have passed the days of sin. We think we're past the days of having to do things God's way. And we see today what a nation happens when it gets away from God, people. You can say all these things you want to, and I'll still point you back. The reason we are in the place we're in racially, the reason we're in the place we're in spiritually, all because we have left the one true God. Forgot about Him. We're over our heads in trespasses. You know what happens when you get over your head in water, Terry? You drown. You cannot breathe. Spiritually, we are drowning. We're over our heads. Since the days of our fathers, we've been in a great trespass unto this day. And our iniquities have we, there he goes again, throwing himself in there. Our kings and our priests have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to the captivity, to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to live us a remnant, to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we are bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land which you go to possess is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to the other with their uncleanliness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace of their wealth or ever, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land, and to leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come up upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that there our God has not punished us less than our iniquities. Our iniquities deserve and has given us such deliverance as this. Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest thou not be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Boy, what a prayer. He says, God, we are guilty. Not they are guilty, We are guilty. I am guilty. And he says, God, by the way, we are slaves, and you have set us free. You realize today that you was a slave? You was a slave. You was a slave to sin. And if you are saved today, you have been set free. And you are, you know what happens? Boys, I could just about run. You know what happens when a slave was set free in that day? Somebody had to pay a price. Because that was a piece of farm equipment. A bad way to put it, but it's truth. That was a tractor. That was the bush hog or whatever you might be. That was it. That was the worker of that day. And for that thing to be released, somebody had to pay a price. And my friend, you was a slave to sin, and Jesus Christ paid the price for you. You was a slave. He says, oh, but we have been set free. And we've been shown grace. And we've been brought back to Jerusalem. You've allowed us to build our house back. So God, you're going to have to help us get out of this sin, because we cannot even lift our eyes to you because of this matter. Church, if we could just see our sin today. I'm talking about the people of God. I'm talking about the church. If we could understand our sin and how it breaks the heart of God and how it affects the work of God, that there'd be people down here on their face before God getting right. The problem is we can't see the problem. We don't see it. So God sent a leader such as Ezra. I want you to notice the position. He was on his face. The brokenness over the condition. He spread out his hands on his knees before God. He was broken. He had plucked the hairs of his head out. He had pulled the hair of his beard out. Now, I haven't never had much of a beard, but I can promise you that if somebody pulls a hair on your face, it hurts. And that man must have been broken because he plucked the hairs of his own beard out because he was distraught about the condition of his nation. We've all heard it for a week about the condition of our nation, but I hadn't saw very many people on their face before God. I'm talking about even pastors and even leaders on their face before God plucking their hair out because they just are not that much worried over it. It's just the condition of the times, we'll say. We see the brokenness. We see the praising for what he had done and the confession. God, we are guilty. There must be confession. It tells us in John, if you confess your sin, he's just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you must confess it. We need men today who care enough to take on the huge problems and start with it in prayer. When a problem has come, and boy, I was taught this. I'm fixing to get to the next point in just a minute of a partner. But I was given, every church I've ever been in, I've had a partner. I've had somebody to help me because we have to have help. One church I was in, I had a guy who has taught me about waiting more than anybody that's ever had an effect on my life. There'd be a problem come up, and I was a young pastor, and I'd want to jump and grab that thing by the horns right then. He'd say, hey, let's wait a day or two. You know what I've learned? Waiting a day or two, sometimes the problem fixes itself. Now, if it don't, then you've got to handle the problem. But he was a partner to me. That's our next point, was a partner. Ezra chapter 10 verse 1 through 4. Listen about this partner. And we all need one of these. We need one of these in our ministry. We need one of these in our homes. We need one of these on our job. We need a partner. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. We need a Shechaniah. I need, or however you say his name, I'm probably butchering it, but we need a man like this. You see, he came to Ezra and he said, Ezra, there's a great problem in the land. There's a great problem in the church, Ezra. But I want to tell you something, there's hope. You know what? The best thing you can give a man of God or a leader of God is encouragement. You know the worst thing you can do is give them discouragement. The worst thing you can do is when they're down, beat on them a little bit. Because listen, if you've ever been in this profession, on every Monday you quit. Every Tuesday you start coming back a little bit. By Wednesday you're excited to preach again. But every Monday you want to give this thing up. Because you pour your heart and soul into everything you think you can do and you see nothing change. And listen, I'm not going to lie to you, it gets discouraged. So the best thing you can do for a man of God, whether it's your pastor or me or our deacons or our church or our Sunday school teacher or whatever it may be, is encourage them. There is hope. That's what he did. He said, Ezra, we got a great matter at hand. This thing is terrible, Ezra. I don't know how we're going to get out of it, but I got some good news for you, buddy. There's hope. There's hope. As we have seen many people with cancer in our church, my mother, of course, passed. Keith's mother passed. We've had other people, had loved ones pass. But you know what I've seen through all of that? That through that journey, although the end may have been death coming to them, oh, what a smile would come on that face when hope was mentioned. We need hope. We must have something to hope in. He come and he said, Ezra, there's hope. By the way, I want you to see something. Did you see the following that Ezra had? The men of a great congregation came when they saw their leader before God praying. Even the women and the children came, and they was weeping because they saw a leader. Warren Wiersbe said this, a worldly spiritual leader creates worldly worshipers. You will follow who's leading because the Bible says you are sheep. You know what sheep do? They follow. You follow something. Everybody does. As in our marriage, men are to be the leaders and then women follow. I'm not a sexist or whatever you call that, nor a male chauvinist. I don't know what you call that stuff. But I believe the Word of God. And I've seen it in my own home. And when I lead correctly, my wife loves to follow correctly. We all need a man like this. He acknowledged the sin. He saw the sin also, just as Ezra did. But he had something that most people that talk don't have. How many people have y'all saw that has great idea that will come to you with a great problem? In Rudy's position, I can just imagine. There's probably trash in the road. There's probably holes in the road. There's probably all this stuff. And boy, they come with all the problems, but very few do you see with a solution. Very few have a solution. I've heard people talk about all this stuff going on in our country. Very few people have an answer. This man, this partner, he had an answer. Listen to what he said. He said, Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God. This is verse 3, by the way, of chapter 10. Let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives, such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God. And let it be done according to the law. He said, Ezra, there's only one thing to do. I've got a solution to the problem. Them men's got to put away those wives. Those daughters have got to get out of that relationship with that boy that's not right. Those men have got to do away with it. That's the only thing can be done. They've got to get right with God by the law of God, by the Word of God. Listen, anything I preach, I don't want you to listen to my opinions because y'all know I have a bunch of them. Just as me and Will agreed, he come in and Jonathan, he wasn't mean nothing towards you, but he saw Jonathan's truck and he said, look at that old ugly Chevrolet. I said, amen, Will. Somebody's leading that boy right. Get him out of an Alabama football jersey and he'll be on the right road. But listen, he told him, he said, there is a great sin. And I know the solution to it. They've got to put them away. We've got to do away with it. He didn't just see the problem, he saw the solution. We all need a partner such as this. He encouraged Ezra. He said, arise. Get up. Get up. You're my leader. Get up. I believe he went over there and Ezra, and now it said that Ezra had done took all his clothes off and pulled all the hair out of his beard or some hair in the hairs of his head to pull it out. So I believe that this man went over there. I believe he put his arms around Ezra, and not only did he say, arise, he picked him up. Get up. We got to have a leader. Get up. We got to have somebody in charge. You see, so many people that come up with a solution, they want to take charge. But according to God, this thing goes in an order. He is number one. The person he's put in the position is number two in that position. Don't make him a king. Don't make him all this stuff. But God's put him in a position for a reason. How do I know? Listen to this. Listen to what he says. He says, then arise, Ezra. Hang on. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong place. Verse 4 says, arise, for this matter belong unto thee. In other words, Ezra, this is your problem. You're the leader of our congregation. This matter is your problem. But oh, I like these next words. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. He says, Ezra, the problem is yours. You can't put it off on nobody else. God's put you in control, and it's your problem. But I want to give you some good news. I want to encourage you. I want you to get up. I want you to be there. We're going to be with you. We're going to support you. But you've got to do something, Ezra. You've got to do it. This Nike commercial, and I'm not crazy about Nike. It says, just do it. Boy, we're good at preaching, but are we good at doing? In that verse, there was also a promise and a push. Notice there was a promise and a push. He said, Ezra, we will be with you. If you'll get up and be the man you're supposed to be and be the leader we're supposed to be, we're going to support you. We're going to be beside you. Wives, if your husband's leading you in a way that is right before God, you need to be beside him. You need to be holding him up. You need to be supporting him. You need to be that, there's a lot of men who want to lead right, but they don't have nobody to support them. There's a lot of church pastors who want to lead right, but he has no support. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about as a whole. There's a lot of deacons who want to lead right, but there's no support at home. We have seen it, and you have seen it also. You see, if a man is leading right, you need to give him a promise that you'll be there, but sometimes we need to push. Get up and do it. It ain't hard. Just do it. Ezra did that. We're going to get there next week. But I want you to think about the task that was at hand of this man. Oh, what a burden must have been upon him. He had to ask a congregation of people to put away their wives and their families. In church today, I am asking you through the Word of God that whatever sin is besetting you and it's near as big as this was, is not going to cost you near the heartache this was going to cost. But our church, in our community, in our county, in our state, in our nation, in our world, cannot be what God has called it to be until God's men and God's leaders get right with Him. What is it going to take? You're going to see next Sunday what it took. But I'm going to give you a little, like you do on TV, get you a little excited. They all come together and they set them up a committee. They was Baptists, I guess. They got them a committee for a committee for a committee. And they said, okay, we're going to start this thing. And one of them was smart. He said, we can't expect this to happen overnight. This is a great matter, and it's going to take some time. Listen, America didn't get to the shape it's in overnight, and it ain't going to be fixed today. Your marriage didn't get in the shape it got in overnight, and it's not going to be fixed today. Our church didn't get in the shape it got in overnight, and it's not going to fix today. But bless God, it'll never be fixed if you don't start somewhere. Will you start? You see, the starting takes realizing what your sin is. And it realizes, and it's going to take doing away with it. And it ain't going to happen in a day. And it's going to come back at you, and it's going to fight at you, and it's going to nag at you, and it's going to try to get you down and get you to fall back into it. But you've got to have a resolve. You see, God has placed me in a place lately around some people who have addictions. I see the fight. You know what? All these people that say, well, why don't these drug addicts just quit? They can't. If they could, they would. They don't want to spend all their money on meth. They don't want to spend all their money on alcohol. They don't want to spend all their money on whatever drug or whatever addiction it is. They would not be in that if they could just quit. But you know what I've seen? I've seen they had to start somewhere. It starts with a decision, and nobody makes it for them. I've seen one, his daddy has put him in places to try to help him. But you know what? He didn't get better until he decided that he was going to get better. He has to come with a heart, has to be led by God for a change to take place. Men, women, boys, and girls, if there's a sin in your life that so easily besets you, you've got to cut that thing loose. You've got to divorce it. You've got to completely do away with it. I ain't talking about keeping it in your house. I'm talking about doing away with it. If there's something in your house that beguiles you, that causes you to fall back in that sin, throw it away. Do away with it. The Bible tells us that. If your hand offends it, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Do away with it. As Pat comes this morning, we stand. We need leaders. We need leaders. Boy, I wish I could be the leader Ezra was. You know what? I can. I just have to have the resolve Ezra had. Ezra cared about what nobody said about him. Ezra cared about his relationship with God and what God said was right. And when God said, lead these people, Ezra led. I'll never be faced with the task that Ezra was of telling a whole congregation to divorce. Or not a whole, but a lot of them. And say, so you got to put your kids away. You got to put all this away. You got to get out of that. You got to do what's it? They'll never be thrown upon me. But what is having to tell you, because I have been at the same place as you. And I fight the same things you fight. Preachers ain't perfect. Deacons ain't perfect. Sunday school teachers ain't perfect. We all fight the same enemy. He desires to destroy you. His desire is anything with God be destroyed. If you're of God's, he hates you. He does not care about you one bit. He wants to see you destroyed of all he can. He knows he cannot reach you if you're sealed with God. He wants to make your life miserable. And boy, there's a bunch of miserable people in our land today. I'm asking people to have enough God about you. Put this thing away. Whatever it is, put it away. If you're in a leadership position, whether in our church or in your home or in your business, whatever your job may be, cut what's not right and go with what is right. That is the Word of God. As Pat plays, you come if you need to.